It might sound cliche after that one, but I think we need to say thank you, huh? Thank you, choir. Thank you. Are you ready for a fun Sunday today? It is Singing Sunday, that Sunday before Thanksgiving where we merge together singing and Thanksgiving. And why do we do that? Because of Ephesians. Ephesians declares at the top of your bulletin, it says, "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a connection, biblically, between Thanksgiving and singing. And so annually on that Sunday before Thanksgiving, we declare it a Singing Sunday where we cut the sermon back a little bit to involve the singing. I don't know if you've noticed this. Been in part of the church for long enough to know that sometimes the sermons run a little long here. Thank you, Doug Winter, for coming through last week with that, right? They run a little long. And so we had the idea a number of years back, what if we cut the sermon shorter and the songs longer at one Sunday a year and declare it a Singing Sunday, and that is this Sunday. And so there'll be a lot of music, there'll be a lot of song, there'll be a lot of opportunity to sing out our praises and thanksgiving to God. I will just remind you how we sing in this congregation, as we often do on Singing Sunday. At the front of your red hymnal, there's a list of rules of singing that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, had written to Methodist societies, just instructing them, how do we sing with worship in setting? And he writes this as some of the rules. I like rule number 4 and number 7. I will just read them for you. He says in rule 4, "Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you are half dead or half asleep." You don't come to church half dead or half asleep. We celebrate the resurrected one. So half dead, half asleep, not the way we sing. But we lift up our voice with strength. "Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor ashamed of being heard, than when you sang other songs." Songs of Satan, as Wesley puts it. Rule 7, above all, sing spiritually. "Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing. See that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually, so your singing will be such as the Lord will approve and will reward you when He cometh in the clouds of heaven." We sing always in this place with a heart aimed at Him. And so I want to invite you to sing in that way today as a part of Singing Sunday. Are you ready for that? Let's stand as we're able. Let's use our voices to praise Him. It is a good thing.
Thank you.
or you're seated, I want you to take a moment. I'm going to give you 5 seconds, okay? With thanksgiving in mind, a Christian is to always be mindful of the gifts that God has placed, because we know the giver behind the gifts, right? And so we want to be a people always, not just Thanksgiving week, that cultivate gratitude. I want to ask, I'm going to invite you, take 5 seconds to think about one thing today that you're grateful for. Don't reach back to the 1950s, okay? Well, what is one thing today that you are grateful for? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think of that, and then you're going to turn around and greet a neighbor, tell them what you're grateful for, and listen to what they're grateful for. 5 seconds to think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Greet a neighbor, tell them what you're grateful for. But you may not stop singing. Let's continue to sing and praise and worship God. You may be seated.
Like the sound of symphony to my
Amen, church. You want to know one of the things on my list of what I'm grateful for? Is what we sang a moment ago, that God knows our name. He knows our name enough to call our name. That's been one of the things that I've loved about the Chosen series, those of you that are in small groups. How many times was it that Jesus stepped into someone's life and he called them by a name and they do like that double take to him? Like I'm thinking early on in that first episode, Mary, she's at her low point, she's thinking of ending it all, and Jesus steps into her life and calls her by her name. She didn't know him, he knew her. And how many is that for our experience? Maybe there's a point in our journey, we don't know him or we've trailed away from him, and yet it's him that reaches out to us. I'm reminded of the burning bush with Moses, right? 80-year-old man, thinking his best life was behind him, not before him, sees this bush on fire, goes to check it out, and that bush starts speaking to him by his personal name. Moses, Moses, your best life isn't behind you, it's before you. I've got a plan for you, a purpose for you. You're to lead my people out of slavery and into life. Wasn't it Lazarus that the song it was about? The dead man rolled behind a stone, and Jesus speaks his personal name. Lazarus, come out. And that dead body responds to that life-giving voice and walks out of that grave. Isn't it good news, church, that God knows your name? Your personal name, your personal situation, your personal circumstances. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Something to be grateful for. Wigglies, I hear you a little bit more, so I'm going to need your help on this one, okay? Turn in the Pew Bible to John chapter 21, or make sure your parent or guardian turns with you there too, okay? We're going to do something neat with the closing of the Gospel of John. We've been reading through the Gospel of John all year long, and we're now at the last chapter of John's Gospel. Remember, John's Gospel mentions the word truth more than any other book, pound for pound in the Bible. It mentions that, and our word of the year is truth. And so we're going to do something neat in just a moment as you're turning there. I'm picturing like a flash mob scene. And so I'm going to open up by reading the first paragraph because there's some names that might trip us up there. But I'm going to read the first three verses. After that, I just want any of you, all of you, to stand up and read a verse and then sit back down. Or speak up seated, one verse, and then stop after that verse. We're all going to close out the Gospel of John together with this reading. And so if someone else stands up at the same time you stand up, the loudest voice wins, and then you wait for the next verse, okay? And read from that next verse on. It might get a little messy, but it's Singing Sunday. We're all going to lift up our voices together to sing Scripture in just a moment. And so you turn to John chapter 21. As you're turning there, a few other announcements for us today. One of those has to do with our church meeting. Today is the date. This afternoon at 1 p.m., there is a church meeting to discuss denominational matters and the process of disaffiliation. And so it is one of those important church meetings. We don't call church meetings just out of the blue. And so we put this date on the calendar months back there, and I want to invite you, encourage you to take part in that meeting. It is important for some future steps moving forward to be there. I realize that 1 p.m. might interfere with nap time. There is childcare, but childcare will not be responsible for nap time. And so maybe it's one of those that you split shifts. If you have a spouse there that takes the kids back to the house for nap time, and you're there and you inform your spouse of what goes on at the meetings. But just so you know, there is childcare, but it is in limited fashion. And it will be in the fellowship hall as the meeting is going on in the Life Center at 1 p.m. Following the service too, Sloppy Joes are ready, okay? I hope they're not burning right now. So after this service, join us for a church potluck there. If you brought a dish, add the dish to the mix. If not, don't worry. I think there's enough Sloppy Joes to feed half of Bellevue. And so enjoy your time of potluck after the service leading up to that meeting at 1 p.m. Thanksgiving Arising has a lot of Thanksgiving festivities. One of those is tonight for our youth. Grades 6 through 12, tonight is Friendsgiving. And so if you're in grades 6 through 12, you're invited to be there for feasting and for some fun Thanksgiving games, bowling with turkeys, rolling down yams, all these different things that we're going to be taking part in tonight after the feast there. And so come on, bring a friend from 5:30 to 7:30. We will have our fun and our feasting around Friendsgiving. Also this week, Tuesday, is our community-wide Thanksgiving service put on by the Bellevue Ministerial Association. That host church site is Lime UCC at 7 p.m. There's also a community choir
coinciding with that community service, and the choir practice is open for all. And so if you want Singing Sunday to continue into Tuesday, you can show up to choir practice on Monday. Monday at 7 at Lyme UCC, and they will be performing as a part of that Thanksgiving service there. And so that's open for any. If you want information, see me after it. Also, Thanksgiving Day, we have the annual Turkey Bowl. People ask me, what's that all about? Well, my best explanation for that, just an annual tradition where fathers can let their sons know that they still got it. And even if they don't still got it, at least they talk like they still do got it, okay? And so that's what takes place, just fun backyard two-hand touch football that takes place on Thanksgiving Day. And so you're invited to participate in that if you'd like to remind your kids of that same thing too. This upcoming December, we're having our Christmas concert that first Sunday in December. Leading up to that is many acts performed by you guys that will be a part of that concert. There are sign-ups for 15-minute rehearsal slots right on the other side of that brick wall. And so if you are one of those skits in that December Christmas concert, see those forms out there and sign up for a slot if you are needing the rehearsal leading into that concert day. There's two different dates provided. That information is on those sign-up slits on the other side of that brick wall. Also on Saturday, December 3rd, leading into Christmas information, the Rec Center hosts, put on by the Bellevue Ministerial Association once again, Lunch with St. Nick. The time for that is 11 to 1, and our church's station for Lunch with St. Nick, yet again, is serving lunch. And so I need about two or three individuals that would be welcome to serve lunch with me. Don't be intimidated by serving lunch. It involves putting a hot dog in a hot dog bun and helping a child pick out a bag of chips. And so if that is comfort to you, and if you would reach out in relationship with the kids of the community that go to that event, see me after the service. Like I said, I need two or three people to help me run that station as a part of that event for Lunch with St. Nick. And last but not least, the Glow Board is in the back. It's that time of year to sponsor a Glow Child, which involves a financial support as well as a prayerful support. $20 and a season long of praying for that child in that picture that is in the back. And so information is in the lobby area. You can read through that on your own. Take a child to sponsor a child that's connected to our after-school GLOW program that meets at the elementary school. John 21 should be open by this point. Is it? Flash mob. Kids are included. If you can read, feel free to read a verse with us. Simply stand right where you are and read it together. But I will begin with the first paragraph, verse 1 through 3. Let's be reminded of God's truth through the Gospel of John together. This is the Word of God, and we are going to read it together. Verse number 1 of John 21, it's found on page 945 if you're there. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. It can be a really long scripture reading, too.
Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus.
He said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" And they answered him, "No."
He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of the fish.
Go for it, Audrey.
When they were out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish laying on it and bread.
Verse 10.
Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught."
So
Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn.
Jesus said to them, "Come to me, have a little bread." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord.
Jesus then came to him, took the bread, and gave it to them, and likewise the fish.
This was now the third time that Jesus had was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs."
Then Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs."
He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was pleased because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." Last verse, who wants to take it? Go for it, Jeannie Z. This is the word of God. We will be doing a little bit more with the Gospel of John, but not in a mob reading kind of fashion. Well done for the close of it, though. Wigglies, at this time you are dismissed for Wiggly worship. Remember, for this service, it's ages 0 through 3 that meet at the second classroom to the left. All other age groups, pre-K on through 6th grade, meet down in the fellowship hall for age-appropriate worship. So as our Wigglies are exiting the service, we got some songs to sing because it's Singing Sunday, right? So I hope you're not tired and singing yet there. These next two songs have to do with our Word of the Year truth. We've been reminding ourselves of the true dat statements found in the Gospel of John, and you'll notice some lyrics highlighted in these next two songs that just bring out truth. One of those is Battle Hymn of the Republic, and the refrain is, "This truth, his truth, is marching on," and the other song might be a newer song to us, and yet it's a song that mentions truth early and often. Both of these we're going to sing as a part of Singing Sunday. So stand as you're able. Let's sing about truth together. Thank you. responsible to determine if you're seated or standing for the rest of the service. The first service failed. This is your opportunity. True that?
True that.
You may be seated for these next two.
Thank you.
Church. Amen. Amen. We are about to do something that we have never done before on Singing Sunday, and that is take part in the Lord's table, communion. Communion also has another name, and maybe you've been familiar with this, but communion in some faith traditions is called Eucharist. Have you ever heard that in reference to the Lord's table? Eucharist is a fancy word that actually means thanksgiving. Comes from the Greek word Eucharisto there, and it means thanksgiving. And so it seems fitting on the Sunday leading to Thanksgiving to remember Jesus around the table as the great thanksgiving about what he's done for all of us, his body broken and his blood shed for us. And so we're going to take part in that communion service in just a moment, but in this moment, I want to invite you to open to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in your pew Bible. Singing Sunday, remember, the sermon is cut back, but it's not outlawed, right? And so preachers got to preach. I just want to share a little story about Thanksgiving that I think ties into this great Thanksgiving of Holy Communion that we're going to lead into in just a moment. And so Romans chapter 1 is the text. If you find that in the pew Bible, let me just share a little something leading into this. As a part of our travels this past week on vacation, we were going down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and about halfway to Gatlinburg, Tennessee is Lexington, Kentucky. And just outside of Lexington, Kentucky, there's a tiny town called Wilmore, Kentucky, that I lived for 3 years of my life before coming to Bellevue, Julie 2 years of that. And so I was in seminary at Asbury Theological Seminary that's in Wilmore, Kentucky, sitting through classes, doing all that stuff that, you know, just gives you the credentials to ruin the rest of your lives there, right? That's what I was doing. I'm kidding on that last part, I hope, there. Got to sit through 2 chapel services as a part of the travels going down to Gatlinburg and on the way back through at the seminary that I attended, and saw a professor that was just reminded of a story that shared in Romans chapter 1. I was taking a class in one of those 3 years down there on the book of Romans, and he shared this as a part of the class, not pertaining to the class, but how this book applies to our life. And he led, before the class began, just a little devotional about his life. And he was at a dark point in his life years prior to that. Just bad thing after bad thing after bad thing after bad thing that transpired to him and close to his network there. And it sent him in a season of darkness, depression, those seasons that he didn't even want to crawl out of bed and face the next day. And he just kind of shared that story of darkness there. But what helped him claw out of that journey too was a passage in Romans 1 about the value of giving thanks. He attributes to his journey, one of the things that really helped him get out of bed was climbing to this list and simply writing, as much as a struggle as it was for that point in life, writing the things, little and big things, that he was grateful for.
And of course, I've shared a resource with you since then. Ann Voskamp wrote a book a number of years back. This was before Ann Voskamp, but a number of years back there, she wrote a book with 1,000 gifts or 1,000 blessings. My mom is always talking about this book. So finally this past year, I listened to the audio book of this one, and I've tossed it out to you as well. But it has that same mentality in mind. Just being people that is looking for things that we have to be thankful for. Not Thanksgiving week, but as a trait of our life, we want to be known as grateful people because we follow the giver of all good things. We should be grateful, the most grateful of people on this planet. Romans 1 tells the importance of gratitude in life. And I'm going to preface the reading of this. We just finished a series on the book of Judges, right? Downward spirals. We're used to downward spirals. I'm giving you another downward spiral passage in leading to giving thanks. You're welcome, okay? But Romans 1, starting at verse 18, is recording a downward spiral that's ultimately leading to Romans 3:23. That passage might be familiar to you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul's leading up to that passage by really highlighting what is that downward spiral that leads us all under that blanket statement of sinners. And he starts in verse number 18. My image in mind, I don't know if this is an appropriate one, it is a toilet bowl, right? Downward spiral, you press the lever, it starts to flow, it's getting the trap. This is the downward spiral, the lever that was pressed down that starts the spiral that Jesus ultimately, from Romans 3:23 onwards, is going to wash the waste off of us, the waste being sin. I'm sorry for that word picture with the toilet bowl imagery, but he's washing the waste off of us, and he's leading us in a spiral in a new direction, a heavenly direction, an eternal direction, a holy direction. But you got to cover the downward spiral before you understand what Jesus is spiraling in the right ways. And so this is that downward spiral section, beginning in verse 18, that starts it. Let me read it for you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men, who by their wickedness suppress the truth. Part of the reason why we are on this quest for truth is that we don't want to suppress the truth. We want to proclaim truth. We want to live truth. We want to speak truth. We don't want to suppress truth. That's what leads to part of the downward spiral. They suppress truth in verse 18. Verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that has been made. So they're without excuse. If you gave me the full 50 minutes today, I would share to you something about general revelation and special revelation. They're theological terms that Paul is unpacking here in those first opening verses there, but he's referring to general revelation. Special revelation cites that God wrote a book to reveal himself to us, the holy book that's known as the Bible. But he's also left us another way to know that there is a God and that he cares for us and he's concerned about us. That's called general revelation, and it's what we experience every single time that we walk outside. So God's written two books. You catching it? One is this book, the other is that book, the canvas of creation in the cosmos. Let me illustrate it in this way. What would you do if you were walking into a house? Just imagine a cold, blistery winter day in Ohio. Who knows, right? But cold, wintry day, and you walk into a house that is set at a nice, glowing 70 degrees. And as you're taking off your hat and gloves and enjoying the atmosphere of that room, you notice on the table, there's candles lit with a dinner right beneath that candlelight. That's your favorite foods. And playing in the background is your favorite music there. Like if you're walking into that setting of all your favorites that are favorable to you, you might be thinking to yourself, someone was expecting me and cares for me. And they've even gone to this trouble of putting my favorites and knowing something about me. Well, what happens when we come to planet Earth? Scientists tell us, right, that if Earth was placed just a couple degrees or even tilted in the wrong axis for its orbit, that we were too far away from the sun, that we would all freeze to death. And if we were inched a couple 2 degrees closer to the sun, we would all burn to death. But But earth is placed in that perfect place that facilitates life, human life, an atmosphere to blanket us there. And there's food that is fun to consume, right? Anyone looking forward to turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and all these different things that God has put in his creation, knowing the creature needs these calorie intake for energy and for survival? Like all the different things, the beauty around that God has given us to enjoy, whether music or aesthetics, seeing a waterfall, hiking a trail, these different things that God has given us, shouldn't that lead us to think, hey, there's a creator behind creation. There's an orderer behind the ordering of things, a designer behind the design, right? That's what Paul is saying in these opening verses, that everything, even in this book or just looking at the book outside, should lead us closer to the Creator. But instead, we in some ways are led further from the Creator by worshiping the Creator's things or suppressing the truth. Not dwelling on who he is or what he's up to in this life, but trying to just do things my way in my time. He's getting into that linchpin, that flesh that starts a downward spiral. Verse 21. Says in verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And they became futile in their thinking. Their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles, worshiping created things rather than Creator itself. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their heart, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural. The men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. They were filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, all were gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient, parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they approve of those who practice them." And so it's the downward spiral, and it's going to get worse. In chapter 2, if we read the full length of it, he's going to turn on those that are cheering those other things and saying, man, at least that's not me. He's going to say, no, we are all plagued. Remember where he's heading to? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's got to declare that bad news before he can tell the good news of what God has done, saving us from sin and starting to sanctify us step by step, journey by journey, closer to who he is and this eternal life that he's laying before us. But what flushes it all down? What starts the downward spiral? Verse number 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him." Gratitude matters. Gratitude matters. Wasn't that part of the sin in Eden? Adam and Eve given everything, and yet, instead of reflecting on what they had been given, they stared at that one forbidden fruit. It was a lack of gratitude that started the flush. And it's a lack of gratitude that Paul is writing to a church of Rome, reminding them, don't be just Thanksgiving people one day of the year. Remember to give thanks continually and on the lookout for what the giver has done in your life. Let's let this scripture set the table for what we're going to remember in this great Thanksgiving, this Eucharisto to God through communion. Let's respond through song, then we will go through the liturgy together of what communion's about. Dottie, if you would play for us that song, "As We Gather at Your Table." You may remain seated, but lift up your voice in song to it. As We Gather.
Church, let's respond through liturgy. What communion is about, this table that we're about to take part in, your responses will be projected on the screen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. That was corporate confession. Let's take a moment in silence to do personal confession of ways that we know we've transgressed a holy God. Take a moment in silent prayer. Church, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let us offer ourselves signs of reconciliation, love as forgiven and reconciled people. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. Just right where you are, stand once more, let the blood flow a moment, and wave to someone across the room as a sign of reconciliation and love to them. Stand right where you are and wave to someone. And you may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us, the body of Christ, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's remember visually what the liturgy pointed us to. The Lord's Supper at the Eucharist table, he took a piece of bread, Jesus that is, and he broke the bread in their midst, and he said, "This is my body that's broken for you." At that same Eucharisto table, he took the cup. He called it the cup of the new covenant,
the cup of his blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he invited us. He said, drink of it in remembrance of him. With singing Sunday in mind, we've asked some members of the worship team and the choir to help assist in serving communion. We are going to take part in communion, much like what we did last month. And if you choose to come forward, they will tear off a piece of bread, they will hand it to you, and then you can dip it in the cup. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, I will be walking around the sanctuary, simply wave to me with the self-serve communion elements. If you have a gluten allergen, just wait up here at the front step. After I make my way around the sanctuary, I will be up here with gluten-free elements of communion available to take as well. But the table is the Lord's table, and we invite you, encourage you to come to the Lord as you take part in this table. Those serving in communion, if you could come forward at this time, hand sanitize, and I will hand you the elements. The table is set. Please come. and a singing Sunday church, hasn't it? Let us close with one more song. Dottie, if you can find the music for It Is a Good Thing to Give Thanks Unto the Lord. We began the service with it. We will close the service with it as well. Let's sing it two times through as we remember to give thanks to the giver of all thanks. Amen? Stand as you're able. We're going to sing it two times through. Very beginning there. Lance, thank you. It is a good thing. Amen, church. A few words of housekeeping before I give you the benediction there. Following the service, immediately after, get in line, get a sloppy Joe, and mingle around as a church family together. We do need some help. If you are ages below 70, okay? We're going to allow 70 and up to be in line first. If you have really young kids, you can be in line first as well. If you are 70 and below and sticking around, or even if you're not sticking around but would be available to help set up some tables and chairs, we got half the fellowship hall set up, but the Wiggly worshipers needed the other half. And so we do probably need some additional tables and chairs to be set up on that other half. I will race down there and help direct some of the setup there, as well as get the Sloppy Joes on the table. So immediately after this, head down that way, grab a Sloppy Joe. If you're 70 and below, help set up a little bit. There will be need some help tearing down too, because that's the arena for the child care following the potluck as well. So sorry for those housekeeping matters, but something to keep in mind following the service. And reminder, the meeting starts at 1. Hear these words, whether we stay or whether we go, we always want to leave this place following Jesus. And so go in that way, and you are dismissed. Have a happy Thanksgiving.